on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition, May 29th of InvestTalk. Appreciate it. We're here to help you meet the challenges. It's how to become a financially independent. It's very difficult. You know, it's never going to be an easy chore. Now, if you choose to continue to work past a traditional retirement age, and I do think that it is a choice and you want to make it a choice, some of you are not going to have a choice. But you do want to make it a choice. So you want to have the wherewithal to have that choice. So you have to figure out how much money you're going to need. How much you're going to need in retirement. In fact, it can be pretty complicated to figure that out, but it's not impossible. And you know, we're in a very low interest rate environment now, so it's almost, you can't do it with what we call quote unquote safe money anymore. You can't make a return on it. And I think that's going to stay like that for a number of years. I mean, interest rates will creep up, but they'll creep up. Right now, how much you get in a money market or CD rates, it's so low. So one of the ways we help our listeners is to offer some timely information, perspective with our weekly premium newsletter. It comes out every Friday, came out today. And I try to give you some of the highlights on today of that letter. There were a lot of statistics out about home sales this week. Okay, pending home sales, and we had you had construction and existing home sales, and you know, they had a number of reports last week and this week on home sales. And so I give a little bit in the newsletter, I talk about that. And what does it mean for the housing market for the rest of this year? You know, no one can really look out too far. It's just impossible. But maybe you can get a hint as what's going to happen this year. And in the current market conditions section, we look around the world, touching base on what's going on in Europe and Russia and Asia and how they affect us, how they affect our economy. Right? Why are we talking about the economy? Because it affects the earnings of corporations in the economy. Our corporations make money based on how good the economy is going, and that affects stock prices. Also, in the newsletter, I offer a couple stock ideas that you should consider every week, every Friday. A couple stock ideas. Couple of big blue chip stocks this week. And in the portfolio management section, I talked about bonds. And how they are attractive and how they respond. My concern is everybody's looking back and saying, look at how well the bonds and the bond funds have done the last 5 years, 10 years. And you look back, oh, but you got to remember, last 5, 10 years, interest rates fall. They have fallen consistently over, 25, 30 years? Pretty much come down, slowly coming down. Are they going to continue to do that going forward? So bonds look really good when interest rates fall. They don't look so good in valuations when interest rates go back up. And, of course, I end the weekly newsletter with a little blurb or two of what we think you should do with your money and what KPP is doing. I have to give you hints about that. I don't get too clear. I got to protect my clients' interests first. But if you want to try the newsletter, it's $9.99 a month. Comes out every Friday. You can sign up just by going to investtalk.com. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and check in with the 24-hour listener line. Our number is 888-99-CHART.
I have a question regarding some precious metals. I wanted to expose myself a little bit to some gold, but I'm not too sure I know the difference between the ETF. I was looking at that GLD, the ETF, or actually buying the physical gold. Could you explain basically what an ETF is? Thank you very much.
Well, there's different gold ETFs. There's one gold ETF for gold miners, that's GDX, and there's another gold ETF that tracks the price of gold, and that's GLD. Okay? Now, neither one are perfect. GLD tracks the movement of gold, about 10% of the value, but there's a cost involved. They got to store it. They got cost involved, so it's not exactly perfect track of the gold price, but it's very close. Owning physical gold is another ballgame altogether. You have high commissions to buy it, and then you have to pay a high commission to sell it. But it's really pretty to look at, and you know the gold value is the gold value. So if you buy gold, many people buy in the gold form of gold coins, not for their value other than the gold content. I'm not talking about buying old gold coins that might be worth more, or you know, based on what how old they are. But you know, you can buy Cougar Ranch, or you can buy Eagles. There's different gold coins you could buy. And the problem with the gold coins is it's not like liquid like the ETFs where you can sell them today and they'll send you the money. And you can sell the gold coins, but you have to go to a dealer. And of course you're going to take a hit on the commission. And the commissions can be hefty, so you got to be careful. But that's the only difference. If you're buying gold just for a catastrophe, just in case, then you buy the coins and you put them in your safe or someplace safe deposit box and you have it for the catastrophe. But for me, if the catastrophe is that bad that I need to use gold to live on or something, then maybe I don't want to be around. Anyways, major breakthroughs in reducing heart disease or cancer will significantly boost average life expectancies. Can we afford it? Happy 100th birthday, I think. That's going to be one of our talking points today. U.S. oil producers are back in the money, but OPEC is not. Oil is close today at $60.23. Why are U.S. producers back in the money and OPEC not? Good article. I found that very informative. We'll discuss that at length. U.S. corporate profits sink 5.9%, biggest drop since 2008. A little study done. We'll discuss that. I got a question for you. Who's the largest organic retail seller in the United States? You know, organic food has been very popular. Who's the biggest seller? Who sells the most? Do you have an answer? We'll talk about that too. And hopefully, hopefully we'll get to whatever is on your mind, something that might be more interesting to you. Okay? What happened to the market today? Well, it was down. So we had a down week. Okay, the market was down for the week. The Dow was down 114 points, the Nasdaq down 28, and the S&P down 13. And it was down yesterday, not nearly as much. Up decently the day before, down pretty big the day before that. But the market, I just looked, the market now for the S&P 500 is up less than 1% after today for the year. Now we put in 5 months and the market is virtually flat for the year. Up, I will say this, there's still an upward bias in the trend lines. It's just that it's barely an upward bias in the trend lines. And if you look at the NASDAQ, instead of the S&P 500. But remember, the S&P 500 is a broader index. The NASDAQ looks a little better for the year so far. Higher highs, higher lows for both the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. I'm not sure. Let me check the Dow. The Dow is probably the one that looks the weakest as I look at a chart. It looks the weakest. But it has higher lows, but not higher highs, because it just peaked recently and it's just not there. And remember someone called about transportation earlier in the week and we were talking about the death cross of transportation. Remember, if transportation is going down, that usually indicates a very soft market and that the Dow and other indexes may follow the transportations on the Dow. And the transportation for the year is down significantly. Transportation sector. No, we're not. When we're talking about airlines and trucks and cars and all the stocks that make up that transportation sector. Kind of interesting. The market just looks weak to me. It doesn't look. There's got to be a catalyst, and we may get the catalyst. There's no telling. You can get the catalyst on the upside or the catalyst on the downside. You're going to get one of them because you're not going to keep at a steady, flat, basically market for the year. That's not going to happen. You'll either give some of that back and then rebound from that, or it will continue to rally higher, but it won't just stay flat. Now, it can stay flat for months, and we've seen 5 months of it pretty much flat for the S&P 500. Okay, how many more months can it be? Well, it wouldn't surprise me if it stayed flat for more months, but if we don't get a correction in the summer, that will surprise me. Sometime this summer. And that means June, July, August, or September. Those somewhere in those 4 months. Now watch, it probably won't, and then I'll be a liar. It's possible. That's possible. See, I don't try to guess what the market's going to do. I do try to use historical norms and probabilities, but yeah, I don't, some people get very firm. This is what it's going to do. It's going to do X, Y, Z. Well, those people bother me because I know the market is very emotional at times. It's very driven up and down by fear and greed, not necessarily the fundamentals. You know, and what are the fundamentals? The fundamentals have been pretty weak, right? Market hasn't crashed and went sideways. Does that bode well for the market? Because what if the fundamentals start turning better? In other words, the economy starts growing faster. The corporate profits rebound this year after being fallen for the last, two, three quarters? What if they rebound later on? Does that, and the market's only going sideways, would that mean it will go up? But the other coin, the other side of the coin, if the market goes up and the economy rebounds, will the Fed come in and squash it by raising rates? You can get straight to me right now if you want. 888-99-CHART. We're open to any money questions you might have. 888-992-4278. Or you could write me a note, send me directly to me. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. Okay, so let's go ahead and get back to our job, number one job of this, and that is answering the phone. 888-99-CHART. Patrick called from Carlsbad.
I was calling not specifically for a stock, but more to learn more about after-hours trading. It's frustrating when you are not in the market and it makes a massive move overnight. And I mean, it's nice when it's going, when you wake up and it's down and you're not in the market, but it's not so nice when you wake up and it's 15% higher and you've completely lost the run. So based upon the fact over the past few months we've had just gapping all over the place, it's just so typical to have massive gapping overnight. Who exactly is buying? Is it foreign investors and hedge funds, mutual funds, or what exactly is happening overnight?
Well, just because the stock market is not trading during off hours doesn't mean events aren't happening that will drive prices up and down. Okay, so many times they report earnings after hours of a company, and after hours, you know, everybody looks at it, oh, that's terrible. And so what do? The first opening price tomorrow will be much lower, right? Because the earnings were terrible. So don't think there's trading going on all the time after hours. There is trading, by the way. You got foreign markets around the world. The market's open 24 hours a day, and depending on where your stocks trade, that will give you an indication where the price of the stock's going to end up the very next day in our own market. So it depends. That's how it works. People are looking at the overnight action, what might drive prices, and the first trade tomorrow will be up or down based on that. Our webinar is next week, June 4th. It's an hour about investing opportunity that is kind of time sensitive, we hope. So many of our domestic stocks are overpriced, so where do you go? Hopefully, where you find value, that's what it's going to be about. You can sign up at investtalk.com.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, sustainable or responsible investing is the application of ethical as well as financial considerations in making investment decisions. Sustainable momentum investing, doing well by doing good. That's our talking point for Monday, June 1st. We hope you'll be here then.
888-992-4278. That's our number. So you're going to make your money last, okay? What if you lived to be 100 years old? That don't think that's out of the realm of reality. I mean, today's healthcare is pretty darn good. So you could do that. And the problem is when do you retire, and how much money do you have? Okay, and of course, you know we have the old rules. One of the new rules that seems to be becoming more prevalent and be written about more is not to dump your stocks, not to just get out of stock market. Now, that doesn't mean you're fully invested in the stock market either, but that is the only place where you have the possibility of a decent return over any length of time. And so there's a lot of articles written, and even the one we'll be referring to that I'm referring to that you can get on our website talks about that. Don't dump your stocks. But at the same time, same article, live off your interest. Live off your income from your stocks, your dividend yields, or your bond yields. Live off of that. Don't necessarily eat into the principal. And it's always difficult. The timing is very difficult. Because you don't want to run out of money. Remember the 4% rule? You can take 4% out. I still like that rule. I like that rule a lot. But what happens if you retired in 2007 and that you started immediately taking money out of your account in 2008 and the market dumped 45% on you and you're in the stock market? You know how hard it is for you to stay in the stock market and how worried you would be if you retired? So the other solution is don't necessarily retire or work in retirement or do part-time work. Do what you want. Do what you like. But don't necessarily not make any money in retirement. Just make money. Do it with pleasure as opposed to I have to do it. It's really a mindset game. So, but just as a suggestion, you know how at the IRS at age 70 and a half, you have to start taking money out of required minimum distributions? Do you know that they don't use 4% to figure that out? It's about 3.7% for the first year. And every year that percent goes up. Well, you could use that as a rule of thumb to take out money from your account, their percentage. Because they're basing it on like 90 years old, that you'll live at least till 90 years old. And they're trying to get the money from out of your IRAs and 401ks to collect the taxes. But it's a pretty good rule of thumb. So you might want to consider doing that. But I still like the 4% rule. In my income account, in our income account, where half of the portfolio is bonds, we hold the maturity, the other half high dividend paying blue chip stocks and high quality bonds. 4% is a piece of cake. You can take 4%. I've always done better than that, except for 2008 when the market collapsed 45%. Every year since then, much better than 4%. So it shouldn't affect. Yeah, of course, 2009, the market started to recover big time. So you made up all the losses in 2008. Just thinking. Let's talk to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Good, Steve. How you doing?
Thanks for the call.
Conway Freight, CNW.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, as you know, our transportation, we talked about at the top of the show, is in a kind of a downward spiral, and that's Conway Freight is part of the transportation sector. But let's look at it more specific. Provides transportation and supply chain management services for various manufacturing, industrial, retail customers. So, Bobby, this is very cyclical, right? Attached to the economic cycle. So if the economic cycle does well, this should do well. And, of course, this stock has been kind of in a downtrend for ever since last September. And it's, you know, big downtrend for the correction in October, then came back, but didn't break its old high. And then kind of lower lows and lower highs, and we're seeing that. And it was down today at $1.42 at $40.47. So I think you need to wait to see some strength come back in. It's a good company. It's a $2.3 billion company. Earnings are going to keep growing, 13% this year, another 20% next year. Sales are in the low single digits for this year. Sales growth. Low single digit. Management owns 3%. It's a very good company, Bobby. So don't think, I'm not bad mouthing it. I'm just saying they're in a sector right now that's in a downtrend. And you kind of want to wait for that sector to turn around. And if then you would want to pick this up. And what I suggest is you want, do you watch charts, Bobby? Do you look at charts?
Yeah, I did. I think that's got a lot of support at $40,
isn't it? Oh, it does. It really does, yes. But I would watch the transportation chart. Use IYT, the ETF for IYT. The ETF for transportation is YYT. And wait to see that turn up before you jump into any transportation stocks. Okay?
Okay.
Good
all
luck
right,
with it.
Thank
good
you.
Luck. Good company. Thanks for the call. Were you one of the 100,000 taxpayers whose personal data was stolen from the IRS? How would you know? We'll have some answers coming up next on Invest Talk Personal. That's in the next half hour. I hope you'll stay with us on Invest Talk.
Part of the Invest Talk experience is visiting our website, investtalk.com. And one of the reasons for a visit is Steve's market commentary. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to his market commentary.
That's our number. U.S. oil producers are back in the money, but OPEC is not. How is that possible? Okay. First of all, we know that the oil prices tumbled last year and into this year. We know that oil rig counts fell by 60% or more. But do you know last week that there was only three less oil rigs than the week before? So it looks like the oil rigs are turning now, going to be back to pumping oil, getting oil. Is that the turning point? But why is that? How can that be? This is how it can be. The shale oil production boom, the fantastic oil we've been producing from the shale formations in North Dakota, Texas, and to some degree in Pennsylvania area, that all was expensive oil, right? I had a conference on it. It's expensive oil. Well, what's happened is that because of the oil prices falling, these companies producing that oil have gotten more and more efficient. They don't drill one oil well anymore. They drill five. Then they put down fiber optics down in that hole to find out where the oil is best flowing. They've gotten much more efficient, and that has driven the cost of production down between, instead of $60, $70 a barrel, it's now $40, $50, $60 a barrel, and oil is at $60.23. So it's become more, you're seeing production increase. Oil production increase with fewer wells. Now, at the same time, do you remember the Arab Spring? The Arab Spring. And you're going to probably ask me, what's that got to do with oil? It has a lot to do with oil in the Middle East. What happened is all those oil-producing Middle Eastern countries got scared, and they started giving more subsidies to their citizens. And so now they have to get more money per barrel of oil to keep their economy going. Even though their cost of production is very low, all the giveaways they give to the citizens means they have to have high oil prices to pay for it. You want an example? Russia needs $107 per barrel. Iraq needs $101. So what do you think Saudi Arabia is? Looks like it's about $133 a barrel. So they can't keep doing that on low oil prices. So Saudi Arabia, remember, they're the ones who wanted to drive our shale oil production out. And they wanted to drive the oil prices down to $40, dry up all that oil, shale oil production. And what they've done, they shot themselves in the foot. Okay, because we got much more efficient. Our producers responded, and they responded to a degree that now they've gotten very smart, and their production is costs to produce a barrel of oil is less, much less than it was. You cannot, many ways you cannot hold back the entrepreneur. You cannot hold back free enterprise. You know, you can't. They'll find a way. And actually, this is really good for our economy. And also good for our environment. I know people are going to look, what? Think about it. If the oil prices come back, which they have now, $60 a barrel, they come, the higher they go, the more people look for alternative fuels. You don't want $40 a barrel oil, because that means gasoline will be very, very cheap. When I say you, I'm talking about the environmental movement out there. You want high-priced oil, don't you? Drives people out of their gas-guzzling vehicles, doesn't it? It's good for Tesla, isn't it? Yeah, so, yeah, it's interesting how you talk to these people, and they like it when oil companies are suffering because oil prices are so low. And I'm thinking, but that's not what you want. That's not your goal, is it? It's not your goal, because the lower the oil prices, the more oil people use. Anyways, don't store up unasked questions, everybody. I don't want you to. It's not a good idea. It's not good for your health. Our listener line is always open. You can call at any time. 888-99-CHART. Here's a call that came in earlier.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Dan from Chicago. I was just wondering what you thought of Discovery Communications, symbol DISCA. Seems to me that it's a good company, but the price seems kind of high. I was just wondering what you thought of the company, if you thought it was a good buy, and what a good entry point would be. Thank you.
I really like Discovery. I really do. Well, one of the things I like, well, because I like their shows. I watch a lot of those when I do watch TV. Discovery Communications offers original and purchase program to the media and entertainment industries in U.S. and 220 other countries. It's big. It's a $14.5 billion company. They are growing their sales, and they used to grow in the 20 to 30 range a year ago, so ago, and the last year that's been falling down to, you know, 9 to 15%. Okay? So the stock has gotten beat up because of that. It went from $44 a year ago, and today it's at $33.94. It fell all the way down to like $29 before it's starting to recover. I kind of like it where it is now. I kind of like, is it overpriced? Well, they're going to make $2.08 next year. It's a $33 stock, $34 stock. Well, that's not too bad. The five-year PE range is 14 to 31, and the PE right now is 17. Return on equity is very high. 21. I like Discovery. I do. And I like where the price is. Just my personal opinion. Because one of the reasons I like them is because I think that their business model is pretty solid. Finances are pretty solid. They got a little bit more debt than I'm comfortable with, but it's still very solid. DISCA. That's Discovery. Discovery Communications. DISCA. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So who is the largest organic retailer in the nation? Does anybody have a guess? Jim in San Francisco, do you have a guess who the largest organic retailer is in the nation? Jim?
Oh, hi.
Do you have a guess?
I called in with an oil question.
I know.
Organic retailer.
Got a guess? Don't stress over
Whole
it.
Foods?
Huh? What'd
Would
you say?
It be Whole Foods?
That's number two, so that's a very, very good guess. That was number two. They were number one 6-9 months ago, but they're number two. Costco's number one right now. Costco.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? That is interesting.
Yeah.
I think so. Jim, you had a question about oil. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw you off there.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Your discussion a minute ago about the oil prices going up, and you stated as a reason that the Arab Spring countries are needing the revenue to support their citizens.
I don't know if that's a reason why oil prices have risen, but OPEC really wanted to drive prices down to try to drive out some of our production here in the shale oil formations. That was their goal. I can't tell you the reason why. I don't think it's the reason why oil prices are up. I think the reason might be more related to the dollar.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I would suppose that they're all contributing to the trend going higher.
Right, right. And then production, demand will probably recover if Europe recovers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a
yeah.
push.
So ultimately, my question is this: is it too late to get in on the oil? Some of the companies like ExxonMobil.
I don't think so. I think ExxonMobil's. I think this is looking very attractive where it is right here. You know, it's at $85.20. I kind of like it right here. I mean, could it go lower? Yes, Jim, it could go lower. But should it? Will it? I don't think it's going to. I don't. They have such a, they're huge, right? It's a huge company, and they're integrated, and they, I think ExxonMobil is the company that you want to hold for the next 10 years. Yeah. I just
yeah.
do.
Okay.
So
well, and then earlier you mentioned that the stock market is kind of going sideways. Well, the S&P 500 is
right.
going sideways for the last 5 months.
Yes.
So if there could there be a sudden drop in prices in the S&P 500?
Yes.
Is that a scenario that's a possibility?
Yes.
Or a probability?
Yes. I think we have a high probability of a correction, Jim. A high probability
yeah.
sometime this summer. And I would use that correction to buy ExxonMobil. I mean,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, when they have a correction, most stock prices fall. Not all of them, but most do. And there's going to be your opportunity, I think, because I don't think we're going into recession. I think we're going to, our economy is going to recover to a stronger GDP in the next 2-3 quarters. So any correction is one to buy, in my personal opinion.
Yes. So as a strategy, to buy a little bit now, and then if there's any correction, to accumulate more shares.
I like that idea a lot. Because what if I'm wrong? Yeah, I could be wrong, Jim. What if the market doesn't correct? I mean, the odds of that happening, I think, are pretty slim, but it has happened.
Right.
So why not have at least some on? I have some oil companies because I bought them a little while back, oil exposure, but I really would like to buy more, but I would love to wait for a correction to do so. So I already have some, I just don't have all I want, just like you're suggesting.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, Jim?
Thank you for thank you for your wisdom there.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate the call. And don't hesitate to call again. Appreciate it. Thank you. Time for InvestTalk Personal, everybody. The day-to-day decisions about money that can have a lasting impact on your health and wealth. You've undoubtedly heard about the success of some hackers who targeted the IRS, right? You've heard about it. They attacked the IRS online service. And if you filed online taxes, which I do, by the way, you could be in a problem. You could get they got application. They got line-by-line tax information, okay? And they got it on 23 million taxpayer transcripts last year, according to the IRS. That's what they got. And history tells us that the IRS has been very secure, but nothing is as secure as it can be or should be. Your information, how many hacks have we seen out there? Big, major hacks in the last couple of years. Well, you know, Target, you name Home Depot, you name it. IRS now. And it's kind of scary because that's all your personal financial information that you file those taxes. Well, anyways, so you got hacked. There's about 100,000 people total that their information was taken. And what the IRS do is sending you notification of if you've been hacked. The IRS have been hacked and it's your information they got. And they're giving you some ways. They're going to give you some free credit monitoring service. They do a big thank you very much, right? Just what they're doing. And that's InvestTalk Personal. You will be notified by the IRS if you're one of the victims. Sorry, hope I don't get one of those letters. They're going to send it in the letter form. I so hope I don't get one of those. If you have a question on this topic or any other money matter, it's time to check in. 888-99-CHART.
Life is all about making adjustments. That certainly goes for your retirement portfolio. That's why it's good to give it a once-over at least once a year. And Steve can help with that at one of our California offices or anywhere via Skype or telephone. We have some new dates for you. San Ramon, June 16th, and San Jose on June 17th. These are first-come, first-served time slots, so save yours now. Go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting.
Hey, Steve and Justin, I was calling about Starbucks. What's your guys' value on it? And then if you're a buy, sell, or hold, I've had it for about a year, maybe 2 years. So looking forward to hearing your answer. Thanks. Bye.
Starbucks, SBUX, is a symbol. And, of course, everybody, if you would have to be death blind and never, ever watch TV, listen to the, or anybody ever talk to you about TV or anything else, not to know who Starbucks is, operates 21,366 coffee shops worldwide, 14,191 in the U.S. Think about how many that means outside the U.S., 21,000 total and 14,000 in the U.S. Wow, that's big. It's a big company. And they're growing their sales 13, 14, 15% every quarter, have been doing it for the last 2 years. And the most recent quarter, they grew it at 18%. Pretty solid. The stock is in an upward trend, continuing to be an upward trend. It is way overpriced. The five-year average PE is 17 to 36, and the PE right now is at 36. I would not buy it at this price. It's too expensive. That's my personal opinion. I'd wait. Just like I told the previous caller, I probably, and this one I would wait even, I would wait. No, I wouldn't buy anything of Starbucks until the correction. I would wait. And I don't know how much it's going to correct in the correction, but I certainly wouldn't buy here. Okay? When you're an InvestTalk Insider, you have new opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by myself and Justin. Important topics, annuities, wills, trusts. And you can sign up on InvestTalk.com. It's free, available to InvestTalk Insiders, all that stuff. Free. All you have to do is sign up. Now it's time to get your question in. 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. What can you learn in an hour about global investing that could make a positive impact on your retirement portfolio? Why not invest an hour with Steve and Justin and find out? Our next live webinar will help you understand the opportunities out there in emerging and foreign markets. This is a one-hour session about global investing. Join them June 4th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free. You can sign up right now on investtalk.com.
Okay, so now we know Costco is the largest organic retailer out there with wholesales number two. Costco sells $4 billion worth of organic food through their all the Costco stores. And that's up from $3 billion just 6 to 9 months ago. So it's growing fast. Whole Foods is $3.6 billion a year. And just so you know, Costco is the second biggest retailer in the world. Do you know who number one is? It's Walmart. And the margins that Costco has is about 12%. Do you think that's a lot? It's not. It really isn't. If you think about, Microsoft and Apple, what, 40 to 60% margins? Do you know who has low margins? Oil companies. Everybody thinks, oh, they make so much money. Well, they do make a lot of money, especially companies like ExxonMobil. That's because they're huge. But everybody talks about the actual dollars. Well, okay, I understand that. But their profit margins are not huge. So I never understood why people are not mad at like companies like Apple or Microsoft who have huge margin. Maybe I don't remember what the margin is on Google. But they have huge margins, much bigger than oil companies, and that everybody is so angry at the oil companies. I never understood that. But anyway, back to organic foods. Costco is the largest by far. And I also wanted to talk about corporate profits. Corporate profits are down 5.9%. 5.9%. as the biggest drop in corporate profits since 2008. So adjusted pre-tax corporate profits fell 5.9% in the first quarter. Remember, we just got through with the earnings season, or we're pretty almost through with the earnings season. And that's the second quarter in a row that it's fallen. And that hasn't happened since the 2007 to 2009 recession. So, now, think about that. But the market hasn't fallen. It's gone sideways. So the market, which is a pretty smart place, doesn't see an economy going into recession. Or else these numbers would scare it, and we would be falling fast. Just would. Let's answer one more question before we're done for the hour. And remember, you can get your question to us over the weekend, and I'll answer it on the next InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
So my question is, at work, I'm finally going to enter into a 401k. I'm not really even 100% sure what that means, let alone what that means going into what we have currently right now in the market. And I was looking for some advice on that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, remember, a 401k is a basket that holds assets. And they offer you in the 401k the various assets you can buy to put in that basket called the 401k. Usually they're mutual funds. Many 401ks offer people that to opt out into a brokerage account, but let's stick with the basics. There's going to be mutual funds offered in the 401k. If your employer matches some of your salary, you definitely want to make sure you get the maximum match by putting in the amount, the top money that will make sure you get it. For instance, very often if you put in 5%, the company will put in 4%. If you put in 3%, they'll match you 3%. If you put in 7%, many companies cap their match at 4%. Now, other companies are more generous. I'm just trying to give you something typical. So what does it mean? It means you're going to open up a 401k through your employer, and now you have choices of mutual funds to pick. And if you don't know what to pick, give me a call, send me an email, tell me what your choice is, tell me how old, and tell me how, if you want to be aggressive or non-aggressive, how, and I'll give me some information, and I'll help you pick, okay? Just to try to make your life a little bit easier, okay? Before we close the hour, a reminder to sign up now for our June 4th webinar. That's coming up next Thursday at 6:30 Pacific time. We're looking for bargains in emerging and foreign markets. How do you find them? It's not that easy. How do you find them? Where should you be? And we'll help you out with that. I hope you'll join us. Please do. You'll find out more and sign up on investtalk.com. Just sign up. It's free, but you need to sign up. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next InvestTalk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.